Your business needs AI solutions that are not only ambitious, but also practical and adaptable. That's where Domo's AI and data products platform comes in. With Domo, you can channel AI and data into innovative uses that deliver measurable impact. Secure AI agents connect, prepare, and automate your data workflows, helping you gain insights, receive alerts, and act with ease through guided apps tailored to your role. Domo is built to meet the challenges of today's AI landscape with a robust, all-in-one platform powered by trust, flexibility, and years of expertise in data and AI innovation. Data is hard. Domo is easy. Learn how Domo can help you unlock your data's full potential at ai.domo.com. That's ai.domo.com.
Welcome to the Dynasty Dugout Show, a podcast covering all things minor league baseball. Get a front row seat to the action with everything you need to know about the future stars of Major League Baseball. And now, here's your host, Chris Clegg.
Welcome into the Dynasty Dugout Show. Today is a special edition as I have a very special guest joining me. He is a pitcher in the Texas Rangers organization, currently in High A with the Hickory Crawdads, coming off a year that he was named Carolinas League Pitcher of the Year, none other than Aiden Curry. Aiden, thanks so much for joining me. How are you doing today?
I'm doing great. I feel good. I mean, thank you for having me. It's not every day you get the opportunity to do an interview, so I'm excited.
Yeah, no, I've been a big fan of yours. You really caught my eye last year early on, just, you know, in single A with Down East, watching some games. And I was really impressed with the arsenal, your work, just your presence on the mound. And it showed. You had a tremendous year last year. And that obviously led to a lot of accolades, which is really awesome. And then obviously leading this year, it's a big year for you in High A. It's a 40-man year for you, which is interesting. It feels like that came kind of fast, or Rule 5 at least eligible year. That's crazy. And we'll talk a little bit about the process, but yeah, I'm really glad to connect with you and chat with you, man. It's going to be a good one for sure. So let's look back a little bit. It's been quite a wild journey for you coming into pro ball, but 2020, it was your senior year. It was your draft year, and COVID hits. You're committed to Bucknell. The draft shortened to 5 rounds. Like, can you take me back a little bit to that process and what that was like? Just kind of that whole, I guess, crazy couple of months and leading up to the draft. What do you remember about that? And you know, what were you doing during that time to better yourself for the game, for pro ball?
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure for everybody it was just as crazy as it was for me. And so I first got seen in Jupiter at the WWBA tournament for the Perfect Game tournament. And after that, then the Rangers kind of followed me through. And then once COVID hit, the area scout for the Northeast at the time, he still followed through, came to practices for school and came to workouts. And then when COVID got serious, and especially in New York, I mean, New Rochelle had the National Guard there, making sure everyone's quarantining and all that crazy stuff. And me and a bunch of my friends, one of them is actually with the Padres right now. Two of them are playing college baseball right now. And a couple of the other guys that we played with, we all went to the field every day and threw live against each other and played catch. And then we'd wrap it up with some spike ball. But so that's kind of that was kind of the quarantine kind of workouts, I guess, if that's the right way to put it. And that's kind of how we stayed somewhat ready for the season. And then the draft kind of came around and it was kind of up in the air whether it was going to be 5, 10, or 15 or whatever it was going to be, and ended up being 5. So then I was sitting there like, all right, I mean, maybe there's a chance. I mean, you never know. And then after the draft, they reached out with a Zoom, and it was like a few days later after the draft where they reached out and gave me the free agent offer. And then the decision came where it was either Bucknell or pro ball. And That one took some time. It took me like a week to kind of go back and forth, obviously, with Bucknell and trying to see whether they could give me a counter offer or what I can almost, not necessarily leverage, but in a way, kind of try and make my time at Bucknell a little bit more enticing. And then after a little bit, I realized, I mean, it's been a dream of mine since I was 5 years old to play professional baseball, and I would be really silly to go to college and take the risk of getting hurt and then never getting that opportunity again. So I made a decision to sign with the Rangers. I think that's one of the best decisions I've made in my life.
Yeah, that's so neat to hear that process and how that transpired. And you're right. I mean, you never know like what could happen going to college. And, you know, obviously there's a ton of risk to take in life. And, you know, for you, that was a major step and, you know, could have been risky going to college, but to have this opportunity to step in immediately and play professional baseball, a dream, like hard to pass that up. But I'm curious how that process went. Was there multiple teams reaching out with free agent offers or with just the Rangers? You got the Rangers early on and decided to go that route, or how did that work out?
So I started to get some looks after that tournament. I had a couple tournaments back in New York, or it might have been Long Island or in Jersey maybe, where a few other teams saw me throw, and I filled out a couple of the questionnaires. But once COVID hit, I had a call. I think it was with like the Pirates I had a call with. I had a call with the Brewers and the Padres, I believe. And then the Rangers, of course. And then once COVID kind of hit, those other three teams kind of slowed down, didn't really hear much from them. And then the Rangers guy kind of stayed on top of it and made sure to come see me and definitely put out a good word, because or else I wouldn't be here.
Yeah, I mean, you couldn't wind up in a better organization. I mean, coming off a World Series championship this year with a loaded farm system too. I mean, top to bottom, you know, the farm system is really, really good. So should be contenders for a long time, which is exciting to wind up in an organization like that. But if I understand right, you self-represented yourself in that process. You didn't have an agent?
No, I didn't have an agent. It was self-representation. But it wasn't necessarily too difficult, because there were maximums for free agent offers during that COVID time. So I had the $20,000 maximum, and then John Daniels was the general manager at that time. He was generous enough to give me a little bit extra school money. Bucknell, I think it was, ended up being right around like $300,000 for tuition for the 4 years. And so he gave me that for school, which was really nice of him.
Yeah.
I'm very thankful for it, because I still use it, which is nice. And I take classes every here and there, and summer, fall semester, and use it and try to continue the education process too.
Yeah, that's awesome. I think that, you know, always learning, always growing. You know, there's life after baseball. And so obviously we hope that you succeed to the point where you can retire from the major leagues and be happy and, you know, whatever it comes to that. But it's always good to have that education. And so I think it's really neat to see that you're still, you know, pursuing that education, even while playing professional baseball. So you were young. You were still 17 at the time of that draft, if I'm not mistaken. So signing at 17, so you didn't turn 18 much long after that. But what were the biggest challenges of stepping into professional baseball at a young age?
I think personally for me, being away from home wasn't necessarily as much of a shock. I thought I handled that pretty well, but I think the pace of the game and how each player is different but has very similar skills, and everyone has different talent and different repertoires and all this other stuff, and trying to find where I fit in to that kind of mix was kind of the struggle as a 17, 18-year-old. Turning 19 in that 21 season, I was still trying to figure out who am I as a pitcher. What are my strengths? What am I good at? What am I bad at? And what do I need to work on? And then that whole beginning of that was kind of like, okay, I'm going to have to struggle a little bit to then see where I stand. And that's kind of what that 2021 season was.
Yeah, there's always struggles that do take a next step at any point, from whether it be going from high school to college, or especially that jump from high school to now professional ball. And you step in there and you're facing a lot of guys that are probably much older than you, even at the complex level. You know, I mean, so adjusting, trying to figure out what works, because probably a lot of things that worked for you in high school, all of a sudden you're like, man, these guys are crushing it. You know, it's like, so the, all these adjustments that you have to do to take those next steps. And so I'm curious to hear a little bit more about that, like how you evolved as a pitcher and what were those steps that you took to better yourself, to put yourself in the place you are now?
Yeah, I'll start with a little bit of a kind of crazy story. The first appearance I made in professional baseball that counted towards stats, because the Arizona League starts later than the regular minor league season. Third pitch of the game, Brandon Marsh had a rehab assignment with the Angels at that time. And I had him 0-2. I threw a changeup right down the middle. And he hit it 109 and hit me right in the back of the head. And that was the welcome to pro ball. Like, better get ready. And so that kind of like, I was like, whoa, boy, that was, well, yeah, really welcome. Welcome to professional baseball. And then as I kind of went through that season, I realized like, okay, my fastball is averaging 86. I don't have command of my curveball and I can't throw for a strike really ever. And I'm relying on a 77 mile an hour changeup that's floating into the zone. So going into that offseason, I kind of knew, like, I was also buck 85 at that point. So that, I mean, I knew it was either it was put on a bunch of weight and throw harder. That was just the reality of it in that 2021 offseason. And then back at home, I go to a place called Velo U, and the guys there, Nick Sirio, he does a great job with the development side with me when I was really young. And then Stephen Ports, he does the strength stuff there. He does a great job with the workouts and keeping things not necessarily like new or different, but keeping a regimented and sectioned kind of workout plan for the off season. And that was kind of the first full off season I had there where it was, okay, I'm going in 6 days a week. I'm throwing 3-4 days. And then as we're going, we're building up. And as we're doing that, we're still working on mechanics. And then on top of it all, I go home and I'm eating until I feel like I have to throw up. So that off season was kind of the first step for me where I was like, okay, I belong here. I can make this work, because that off season, I was throwing like 92, 93. And I was like, okay, this is taking a step in the right direction. And it gave me kind of a hopeful thought towards the off seasons, which is what I like the most. I love the off season. I think it's one of the best times of the year for baseball other than the playoffs. But so that full off season kind of went through, and then 2022, I saw the rewards of it where I had a much better year. A lot of the stats cut down. And I think the only stat that I had that was decent in 2021 was the strikeout percentage, but everything else was really bad. So the strikeouts stayed pretty much the same, and then the walks went down and the hits went down and all this other stuff, and added a few tools and pitches, but that also helps. But that was kind of that process into 22, and then kind of rinse and repeat for these past two off seasons.
Yeah. So obviously it's paid dividends. You mentioned just eating a ton to put on that weight. Your list is now 6'5", 205. Is that still accurate, or are you put on a little more sense?
It's a little bit skewed. I put on a little weight in this offseason. I'd say I'm probably right around like 210, 212 right now.
Yeah. But that's good, man. Like that's good weight to add. You know, velocity, a lot of it comes with weight. You know, I mean, this is what, obviously there's a lot of technique and a lot of stuff like that, but an easy way to get to velocity and holding it deeper in the starts, it comes with conditioning, with your weight, all that sort of thing. So, no, I think that's it's really good. So, last year you had a really big year. You had 2.75 ERA across 88 innings, 104 strikeouts. The fastball obviously ticked up significantly, looked really, really good. You missed a ton of bats with the fastball, had a lot of ride. Then you have the slider. Let me hear a little more about that. Is that something new that you added last year, or is that something you've been working on for a while? Because that pitch was just kind of devastating with a lot of sweeping action, a lot of depth. You had a 46% whiff rate on that pitch, which was just really incredible. And so was that new last year, or is that something that you've had for a while?
It's kind of a funny story. So I started throwing a slider-ish kind of in that 2020 quarantine right before I got drafted, and I was just kind of messing around because we had nothing else to do. So I was like, screw it, let me try and throw a slider. And so I started throwing it. I couldn't really control it, so I got rid of it. And then in 2022, I was throwing it more often, but it was kind of like that bullet gyro slider. And then out of nowhere, it started to slowly creep and get bigger and a little bit more sweep and a little bit more velo. And then it was probably right around like that negative five horizontal break area in 22. And then 23 or 22 off season, worked on it again. And then obviously the increase in velo and strength and weight, that all kind of helped it be like a gain velo on the slider. And then one outing in spring training against the Royals in 23, I started throwing them with like super sweep, where it was like negative 18 horizontal break, like negative 17. I was just like, I can't even control it in the zone because I'm like, how am I making it move this much? I literally threw it 3 months ago and it was a short breaker. And then once I kind of like did that, I was like, okay, maybe it was a fluke, right? Maybe. And then the next outing, I went out and did it again. It was sweeping a lot. I was like, okay, let me try and make this adjustment because this pitch can be a number two pitch off of my fastball if it continues to be this kind of shape. And then as the year went on, I was like, okay, it's keeping the shape and I just need to be able to strike it. And then that whole kind of beginning of the year, end of the, like through the year, I just gained more confidence with it and had the ability to throw it almost at any count where I feel like I could strike it. And I kind of feel the same way now with that development of the slider, but it's been, that was fun because I never thought I would throw a slider because I have a higher release height. So I never thought slider was ever in the picture. And then now it's my best off-speed pitch.
Yeah. Yeah. It's been really fun to see that. Obviously it's incredible pitch with the sweep and even, you know, pretty much the two plane break you get on that because it has good depth as well and misses a ton of bats. So, you know, through the changeup as well, mixing a cutter, if I'm not mistaken, your cutters with the upper 80s pitch there.
Cutter. And then I brought the curveball back this year.
Yeah. Which is nice. Yeah. So rocking a five pitch arsenal. Like,
yep.
That's awesome, man. You can't beat that. And so I guess, I'm curious, with you mentioned, I think that I'm assuming the answer to this question based on you've talked about some of the pitch shape and stuff, but how much do you utilize like advanced data, pitch design, that sort of stuff in your process? Like, are you looking at the data often? Like, how do you utilize that in your game?
Sorry about that. If you can hear
though. No, yeah, you're good.
I think there's a balance that I kind of use that I think is good. Like, there's a lot of benefits from using data and you can kind of develop pitches based off of data, but at the same time there are pitches that would grade bad or really poorly on the scales, but it generates swing and miss. So I think playing around with, well, if I'm getting swing and miss, why would I change it or something like that? But then on top of it, at the same time, it's, well, we're trying to make it a big league pitch, not a low A pitch. So kind of going back and forth with those and then trying different things and using the data to kind of figure out what works and what doesn't. I think there's a balance to it, but there's also, you can also overuse it.
Yeah, I tend to agree. I think that, you know, we've seen like the Stuff Plus models and all those things that are popularized now. And sometimes it can't quantify things. Like you mentioned, if you're getting whiffs on a pitch, like at the end of the day, it doesn't really matter what a model thinks, you know? As long as you're getting strikes and missing bats, like at the end of the day, that's what matters. So, yeah, I mean, I kind of agree. I think there's a good balance there. Like, I like to use data in my evaluation of players, but also, like, it's a lot of feel, the eye test, and all that sort of stuff's important. So, that's good. Ultimately, what was your biggest emphasis this offseason heading into 2024? Was it working on that curveball, or what was the focus for you?
So we kind of start internal with mechanics and then build off of that, because if we're doing what we're supposed to in the weight room, then the strength should then be should translate into velocity theoretically. But this, I'll kind of backtrack to the 23 or 22 off season. We kind of worked on controlling the pelvis and being able to manipulate the pelvis in like down the mound and in the mechanic, because it's a pivotal point in the mechanic to throwing hard, which is obviously the end goal. And then this offseason, we kind of built off of that and we focused on controlling the torso and being able to, same thing, like manipulate your torso and knowing where you are in space. And then going into the last few months, maybe like right before Christmas, I'd say, trying to make it then repeatable. And then, so I'd say torso control was a big one this offseason, and then rotational speeds. Those were kind of the two things that I focused on, because I knew from last year that the slider would play. I knew the fastball does play, but I know I have more in the tank. And then everything else is just going to kind of build off of that. So I knew if I worked on these mechanics and got these down pat, that I could, it would end up making me throw harder, if that makes sense.
Yeah, so, for sure. I think that, you know, it all kind of ties together. You know, having, you know, everything synced up together, like you mentioned the pelvis, yeah. You know, all those things make for good pitches, which is important. I don't have the data yet, but where's your fastball sitting these first two outings this year?
The first one, I think it was, I was 3-5, average 4. And then this past outing was, I think it was like 93-97, averaging nice. Like 4-5 again. So I hit a 97 on Saturday, which was nice to see, because it kind of gave me a little bit of hope on my quest to 100 miles an hour. But
yeah. That's awesome. I mean, that's big progress, because you mentioned you were 86, what, back in 2020 yeah. is prep. So to consistently yep. sit, you know, 8 miles an hour higher, that's major progress. And, you know, that's really awesome. You're well on your way to 100. I mean, you got the frame for it for sure. So, you know, certainly could tap into that. It's coming, man.
Yeah, it's been fun. I always look back on it, especially now. I mean, this is my fifth year, technically, including 2020, but this is my fifth year, and all these new draft guys are coming in. They're like, oh, yeah, Curry, he throws hard. I was like, hey, it wasn't always like that. You should have seen me in 2021 throwing 86, 88.
Yeah, that's wild, man. But, yeah, it's really cool to see that progress. What's the highest you've hit? Have you hit above 97 in the game?
97 was the highest I've hit, and then nice. I hit a 96 in spring training last year, but in season it was 3-5 the whole year. And yeah. This year I actually told my pitching coach on like Thursday, I told him, I was like, I'm feeling a 96. I feel good this week. Body's all good. I'm working out well. I'm eating well. So I'm feeling like a good 96. I threw my pregame like catch play, and I was like, Julio, we might have a little bit more than him today. it was good. I mean, I felt good, and having days like that where you're like, okay, I feel good, but then being able to translate it from catch play to then the mound in the game, and then still being able to compete, because at the end of the day, it doesn't matter how hard you throw if you can't throw a strike. So right. being able to compete with it and throw strikes is kind of the end goal. Like, I'd rather throw 3-5 and throw strikes than be topping out at 99 and I'm spraying. If that makes sense.
Oh yeah, I think a well located 95 is much better than can't throw 99 anywhere in the zone. So, or your misses are right over the middle. So, I think that makes complete sense for sure. And yeah, you had 7 Ks in that last outing, which was really solid. 4 innings, 7 K, 5 the game before across 4 innings. So. Really good start to the year so far for you. What are some goals you have for this year? Any specific goals you set, quantifiable goals? Like, what is it for you this year you're hoping to do?
I mean, I kind of set a reach goal, and then one that's maybe a little bit more attainable. I mean, last year, I kind of rolling over the 100 strikeout year again. I would love to do that again. That one meant a lot to me last year because of where I started in pro ball. And then, so if I could do that again, I think I put myself in a good spot based on where I'm at with the Rule 5 and all this other stuff throughout the year. And then, obviously, if I'm getting 100 strikeouts, I'm probably pitching pretty well throughout the year, which would be nice. But so that's kind of like the attainable goal. And then I would love to just play kind of very similar like what I did last year, where I play well, I do what I can do and control things that I can control. And then maybe if the timing's right and all that, get to double A, maybe by the end of the year, that's kind of the reach goal, and then go from there. And each year I kind of set pretty similar ones. I mean, since 22, I've set the same thing other than the 2,200 strikeouts. I was just trying to, like, what can I do to get to the next level by the end of the year?
Yeah, I think you're well on your path there. You mentioned it's the rule 5 year. I think that certainly looking at that, I mean, the org's going to want to see what they've got in you, push you up to double A. Certainly could see that happening, but hoping you will still be in Hickory when y'all will be down in Greenville in about a month's time. So love to see what's down there. So
I got to see that stadium at the end of the year last year in the playoffs. And
that's right.
That's a beautiful stadium. It's a nice field.
It is. It's a great town, great stadium. So really lucky. I live about 10 minutes from the ballpark, so I'm there quite often. Lucky to call that my home park that I do most of my coverage in. So I travel around, but I'm in Myrtle Beach this week. But Greenville's great ballpark. So it was a great series y'all had too in the playoffs. That was an awesome series between Greenville and Hickory then. So
I didn't get to pitch there, but I'm excited to.
Yeah, for sure. And y'all got a lot of talent. You know, I'm looking forward to seeing this year. A couple of quick hitters before I get you out of here. I want to hear something. What is something that most people don't know about you, or fans don't know about you, that you outside of baseball that is something that you would like to share?
I got a good one. I mean, I picked it up in 2020, I think, in the off season of 2020. I'm pretty good at bowling. I take pride in it. I got my own bowling ball, and I haven't gone yet, but I brought it. I might go this week, or actually, I'll have to go tonight. Actually, leave for Greensboro tomorrow. But I'm pretty good at bowling. My my highest score ever was 279 in El Paso.
Wow.
So I take pride in that, in some being kind of like off to the side.
That's pretty good. I think the highest I've bowled is like a 180, which I thought was pretty good. But, dude, you're going to hit a perfect game before long, get that 300. So,
yeah, that I really would want that. And the crazy part about that game, I had a split on the first frame and picked up – I got five on a split. It was like 3-2, and I picked up four or two or four on the first frame, and then I – striked out the rest. And
dang,
I was like, oh, if I just had the first frame be good.
That's crazy. Yeah, it's coming, man. You'll be bowling with Mookie Betts before you know it. Like, yeah. Mookie's an incredible bowler. Like, you can go bowl with him, that'd be pretty sick.
The 300 game in, so he's done that already.
Yeah. Yeah. So is that your favorite thing to do outside of baseball, is bowl?
That's more of like kind of every here and there. I like to golf. I'm not that great. I picked it up last year, but I like to golf, and then I do play some video games.
Yeah. So you just got off the course before we started recording. What'd you shoot?
I ended up shooting a 91. It wasn't great, but it was horrible. I started playing a year ago. And I just got my own kind of fitted clubs, because the Dick's Sporting Goods used irons weren't cutting it anymore.
Yeah, no, I mean, with your height, you definitely have to get some custom clubs, some extensions. Yeah. I'm a longtime golfer, so I appreciate that. And the fact that you picked it up and shooting a 91 is pretty good, considering you just picked it up a year ago. Yeah. So,
all things considered, yeah.
Yeah, that's pretty sweet. Who's the best golfer on the team that plays with y'all?
I don't know. I know Cam Colley's really good. Brock's pretty solid. I don't think he's better than Cam, though. And I think Quincy Scott's pretty solid too. Trying to think who else. I know Jackson Kelly's pretty good too. There are a few guys that are pretty solid that shoot like low 80s, can break into the 70s if they like had everything lined up, all the stars aligned, and played a really good round. But I know that in the organization, I know Cole Wynn, he just debuted actually. I heard he's definitely by far the best golfer. Apparently, he's a scratch golfer.
Nice. So if the org has a tournament, he's probably taking the crown there.
he's probably putting on the green jacket for that tournament.
That's pretty fun, man. It's good to have hobbies outside the game, so to pick up golf and be good at it and to be as good of a bowler as you are. That's pretty fun. So a couple baseball related questions. What's your favorite park that you've been able to pitch in so far?
I mean, I feel like I got to say Down East, right?
Yeah.
I like that stadium actually a lot. The backstop's really close, so it looks like you're throwing 50 feet. And I can recall a few outings where it was like I was sore and I didn't feel that great. And I was like 90-92 in like a one-inning stint, and I felt like I was throwing 96. So that stadium definitely gives you the confidence boost with your velocity, that's for sure. So I like that stadium. Where else have we gone? Oh, Greensboro was really nice, actually. We're going there this week. I'm excited. I pitched there with Hickory at the end of the year last year, and that stadium was cool. They got a really good turnout every night, pretty much. Yeah, like literally every day, which was cool to see.
Yeah. Yeah, Down East is actually moving not far from me, and it's sad for the Kinston community. It's a great baseball community, but they'll be moving to Spartanburg next year, so it's about 20-25 minutes from where I am, so... I have another ballpark close to me, but I am sad for the Down East Kinston community because great park and great people there supported the team. But Rangers will be moving there next year. Who is the toughest hitter you faced outside of Brandon Marsh, I guess?
Yeah, I mean, that one wasn't great. didn't end up so well, but toughest hitter I faced. I mean, I could go – and there's some good hitters that had decent ABs, but I think there's one guy who had my number last year. It was Bryce Matthews, I think, with Fayetteville. I threw him a 2-1 slider that hit the moon and got out. And then the following at bat, I tried to throw a fastball and hit a double. So, I mean, as of right now, I'd probably say he's one of the tougher ABs I had. And I threw against Samuel Basayo with he was with Delmarva at the time. He had some great ABs. We went deep into counts a lot of the time. So I'd honestly probably say Basayo was one of the harder at bats that I've had. That is just has a good eye, fouls off pitches, and then finds a way to put a barrel in play. And that was a fun time in Down East too, because you're kind of going back and forth with other guys, and it's kind of fun. It's a fun dynamic too, just in general, when you're seeing guys on other teams that are like, you know, they're prospects and you know they're big names. Going up against those guys, you're like, all right, let's see what you got.
Yeah, Basayo's a stud bat. Bryce Matthews, obviously, fresh out of the draft last year, Astros first rounder, so a lot of talent there for sure. So Basayo, man, he mashes. So I can see that one being tough for sure. To close out the show, I'd like to hear what's one piece of advice that you would give to a young player that's trying to make it professional. Like, what's the best piece of advice you would give?
I gotta pick one.
You can go multiple if you want.
I think the biggest thing is for me is that I liked a lot about last year and even this year is having fun. It's a game. We're blessed with the ability to play the game of baseball for a living, but at the same time, it's a game. So it's always fun for me, and always will be. Even bad outings, it's not like, oh man, like I'm not necessarily the type of guy that's gonna come back the next day after giving up a 5 spot in the first and getting yanked after two outs the next day. I'm just, yeah, whatever, it's a game, it happens. Because I know that the next outing, if I do the things I need to do, I should be in a good spot. I think I'll pick three. I like that one is having fun. It's a game. And then kind of building off of that is being the same person every day. It's a long season in professional baseball. And even in kind of high school going to summer and then going back into high school into the fall or tournaments or whatever it is, no one likes the guy who comes one day all happy jolly because he hit a home run the day before. And then he goes 0-for-3 that day and comes back the next day and he's all pissy. So being the same person every day, and not necessarily like, yeah, you just being the same person every day. Oh, sorry about that. Can you see me? Oh, what happened? Good? All right.
Yeah, you're good.
I went to swipe a notification out. I went to the notification. and then the third one I'd probably say is, it was those two. Oh, and control the controllables. A lot of stuff is out of your control in the game of baseball. So being able to be content with what you can do, rather than trying to push it onto someone else. Like, oh, I pitched bad because this guy made two errors. No, maybe you should have made a better pitch and not given up the hit. Or there were two guys before that you walked, and then the guy hit a home run. So where kind of controlling the things that you can control, there we go, and being content with that is a big thing, I think, for a long season, keeping your head on straight without going crazy or anything. But being able to live with the results you have, regardless of good or bad or what happened and what might happen.
That's right. I mean, sometimes it's hard to, you can't control everything, but you can control what you can't control. Each pitch is kind of a process, is a building process of you on a journey to hopefully one day making the majors. And so just taking every day in stride, being the best you can be. And if we do that, I think we're going to excel in life. And so that's kind of my motto, is just striving to be a little bit better every day. If I can be 1% better today than I was yesterday, then at the end of the year, I'm significantly better than I was. So sounds like that's been a lot of your progress too, from where you were 2020 to now. It's just incrementally being better, and the results are coming with it. If you go about the process, the results are going to come, which is really awesome. And certainly seeing that with you too. So it's really cool, man. I'm excited to continue to follow your career and see what you do. Big things are coming. I really enjoy watching you pitch. I'm looking forward to seeing you live in about a month's time down in Greenville. So
yeah, I'm excited to go throw.
Yeah, talented team for sure. I'm looking forward to seeing you, plus, you know, Brock Porter. They've got a lot of guys down there that can throw. So looking forward to that, man. But appreciate you taking the time. I know you're –
Thank you. Thank you for having me. I appreciate the kind of the well, – not necessarily press, but being able to talk to you and do this interview. I enjoy them a lot, and telling my story. It's not your everyday story where, I was a day one guy and batted 500 in high school and threw 98 coming into the draft. No, it was a long, slow process for me, which is cool. And I think it gives people at home hope that it doesn't necessarily have to all be sunshine and rainbows the entire time. So I'm excited to tell my story, and I really appreciate you having me on the show to tell people this story.
Of course. And I know our listeners will really enjoy it. So I'm looking forward to getting this out here. We'll have it out tomorrow for everyone. But thank you again for joining us, and hope you have a great day. Yep.
At Ritual, we know what goes into the holiday season. The potluck planning, the gift giving, the spreadsheets. So this new year, take a moment for yourself with science-backed support that puts you first. So whether you're focusing on supporting foundational health with a clean vegan multivitamin or supporting your gut health with Symbiotic Plus, do it with 30% off your first month at ritual.com/podcast. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.